Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So if you receive a gift, you may have to pay gift tax on it. And if you receive an inheritance following a death, it may be liable to inheritance tax. Both these taxes are types of capital acquisitions tax. But what are the thresholds and how much are you liable to pay? Well, Andrea McNamara is Head of Private Client Law at EY Law, and she's here in the studio with us this morning. Good to have you back with us, Andrea. So let's talk in general terms about capital acquisitions tax. What's included in it? What's exempt?
Well, I suppose capital acquisitions tax, it's commonly referred to as CAT. So if you hear me saying CAT, that's what I mean. It applies to gifts and inheritances which exceed an individual's tax-free threshold amount. And there are certain rules that determine whether a gift or inheritance is within the scope of CAT in the first place. So I suppose the most straightforward, there are three rules. The most straightforward is that if you receive a gift or an inheritance of an Irish situate asset, that's always going to be within the scope of Irish inheritance tax or gift tax. So, for example, you could have, say, somebody who's non-resident, an English resident, leaving a property, a holiday home in Ireland to their English children. That would still be within the scope of Irish inheritance tax for their those English children because it's caught under that rule. The second situation is if the person who's making the gift or inheritance is resident in Ireland at the time of the gift or inheritance, again, it's going to be within the scope of CAT. And then the third rule is if the beneficiary, so the person who's receiving the gift or inheritance, if they're resident at the time when they receive it, again, it's going to be within CAT.
Okay, so it's so about where the person is resident, not where the gift is.
Well, both. So if any of those, if you do have an Irish asset, even if everybody's non-resident, it's still caught.
Comes under, okay.
Yes, so if any one of those are met.
So the tax rate then for gift and inheritance, just to set this down so people know what we're dealing with in terms of the percentage.
It's 33%. But as I mentioned, that's on the amount, the value of the gift or inheritance that exceeds your tax-free threshold amount. So the tax-free threshold amount is the amount that you can receive tax-free before you have to pay CAT. Mm-hmm. And there are three groups that you can fall into for your tax-free threshold. So there's Group A, which broadly applies to children, can apply to parents in certain circumstances, and that's €335,000. Then there's Group B, which is €32,500, and that applies to gifts or inheritances received by siblings, nieces, nephews, grandchildren, kind of close family members.
Okay, 32,500, yep. And after that, the rate is 33%.
Yes.
It's the same with the 335,000, the rate, yes, is 33% beyond, yep, that, and that's over your lifetime in
it
both cases.
It is, essentially. So you have to look back and take into account any prior gifts or inheritances that you received in the same tax-free threshold group since the 5th of December 1991. So it's over a 30-year look-back period, which is very long. So, you know, if, say, a parent left an inheritance to their child, but during their lifetime they had made a gift to that child to help them buy a house, that child then has to take that gift, say if it was €100,000, into account when calculating their current available tax-free, okay, threshold. So it would reduce it down from 335 to 235,000.
Does that ever move, the look-back period? 1991 is a long time ago.
It used to move, but it hasn't moved in over 10 years now, so the government would have reviewed it periodically and moved it forward, but we've had the same look-back threshold for look-back period for quite a while now.
Now, we haven't talked about the other category, so we've covered two there,
yep,
the children and sometimes parents, the more remote family members, but there's another group as well.
Yes, so everybody else, if you don't fall into Group A or Group B, then you fall into Group C, and the amount of Group C is 16,250. So really it's distant family members or it's non-family members.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose just importantly to flag, that's the threshold that applies to unmarried partners.
That is so important,
yes,
for people to know. And I know we touched on this the last time you were in, and you were saying you have said that to clients and they've run out and got married,
yes,
as a result.
Yeah.
What happens though if unmarried partners are living together in the same home and one of them dies?
So there should be an exemption applies that would apply then to the family home. It's called dwelling house exemption. And it would apply if they were both living in the property together and had lived there for 3 years prior to the death of one spouse. But there are a number of conditions conditions. So, or, sorry, not spouse, but partner. There are a number of conditions. So the partner who's inheriting the property can't have an interest in any other property. So if they had an investment property or an apartment, that would trip them up and they wouldn't qualify for the relief. So it is important to get advice. You know, don't just presume that, yes, this relief will apply, because mm-hmm. there are numerous conditions.
And any other assets beyond the family home, you will be taxed at over at 33% beyond 16,250.
Exactly.
Yeah. That is crucial for people to know, because I'd imagine there's a lot of people who are affected by that and probably don't know the rules around it, would you say?
I think definitely a lot of people aren't fully aware, you know, and it, so it is important that they go and get advice and see, look, is there anything that can be done?
We have been bombarded with questions since we mentioned you were coming on. So let's get to some of them. So if a parent leaves a house to one adult child, but that child wants to share with their siblings, can that be done using the parental gift allowance?
OK, so it sounds as though that child has inherited from their parent.
Yeah.
So if they then want to share the property with their siblings, there are a couple of things that could be looked at. It can be possible to redistribute assets in an estate post-death by executing what's called a deed of arrangement. But with a deed of arrangement, what you would have in that situation is that the child who inherited the house would pay inheritance tax on inheriting the house from their parent, and they'd get the Group A tax-free threshold. But then if that child decides to share the property with his siblings, then that's essentially a gift between siblings. So you'd just get the Group B tax-free threshold. So there could be a tax bill.
So you can't go back and say, look, the parent is going to split this amongst the children so everyone gets the 335,000 allowance.
Well, there is one other thing that they could do. So they could potentially look at executing what are called disclaimers, which is where somebody disclaims their right to inherit. So if that child who inherited the property executed a disclaimer, it might be that the property would then pass equally between all children, whether that's under the will or on intestacy. And this would depend on the structure of the will. So that would need to be looked at. Mm-hmm. But you could end up with a situation where all children would inherit the property equally. And if that's done through a disclaimer, then all children would get the Group A tax-free threshold. So it might be possible here, but we just need to look at the will.
Depends on how the will was written.
Yes. Yeah.
OK, so it may be possible. Right. Now let's look at this next one. My parents are in their late 70s. They have a house worth approximately €250,000 and they have several hundred thousand euro in cash savings. As we are four siblings, is there anything we can do in advance of their death to lessen the inheritance tax or capital gains tax apart from my parents' will, which they already have in place?
OK, so if there are four siblings there, they would each get the Group A tax-free threshold. So assuming that they don't have any prior gifts or inheritances that would eat into that threshold, they each get, the four of them get €335,000 tax-free. So they should be up at about 1.3 million of an estate that they could receive tax-free. I think you said the house was around 250,
yes.
Is it? And then a few hundred thousand euros.
So we don't have a definite figure there.
No,
so we're not sure whether they're going to breach the 335.
Yes, so if they don't breach the 1.3-ish million, then there's no tax to pay by the children. If they are looking at breaching that, they could maybe consider, I think they said they've a lot of money in savings. So the parents could maybe look at utilising what's called the small gift exemption, which is an exemption whereby any individual can gift the sum of, or up to the sum of €3,000 to any other individual tax-free every year. So it can be a good way of getting money across tax-free during an individual's lifetime. But I would always caveat that by saying that the first and foremost concern for the parents in this case should be to retain sufficient assets to provide for themselves into the future. So it's only if you're in a position that you feel, well, yes, I certainly have surplus assets here that I'm not going to need during my lifetime. They could then maybe look at gifting this small gift exemption to the children. So combined, the parents could gift €6,000 to each of the four children. So that's €24,000 tax-free every year. You know, over time, if that's over 10 years, you've got another €240,000 across tax-free.
Mm-hmm. But be careful because you might need that money in your lifetime.
Absolutely, yes. So that's, it's only if you're kind of breaching the threshold where you say there's no possible way I could need this.
So now I want to go back to that look back to 1991. So let's say in 1992, your mother helped you buy your first car.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to declare that?
You should, yes. Yeah. There are, I mean, there is an exemption that could potentially apply, but for maintenance and support if children are under a certain age, but it generally wouldn't apply to the likes of providing a car to a child. Mm-hmm. It would apply, say, for college fees or, you know, student accommodation. But I would suspect that in that case, that would be a taxable gift
right.
that you would have
so
to apply.
So any help with buying an asset like a property, mm-hmm. all included yep. in your 335 yep. allowance. Okay, that's worth knowing too.
Yeah.
Now, this next one, I inherited my parents' house in 2018. I was exempt from paying inheritance tax as it was my principal private residence. If I choose to sell the house in the future in order to downsize, am I liable to pay tax if I make a profit? I have no siblings. I'm single. I have no other property.
Okay, so it sounds like this listener claimed what's called dwelling house exemption, which is a complete exemption that can apply to a family home in certain circumstances. So if they did claim dwelling house exemption and they didn't pay any tax as a result of that, there is a 6-year clawback period for that exemption, whereby if you sell the property and you don't fully reinvest the proceeds of sale, then there could be a clawback of CAT on the amount of the proceeds of sale that aren't fully reinvested. So say if he was downsizing and the house was worth 500,000 and he bought a new house for 350,000, there could be a CAT clawback on that 150,000 euro. But I think you said it was 2018.
That's
wasn't
right,
it? So
yeah.
The 6-year clawback period might have expired already, or it's due to expire this year. So if that listener waits until the 6-year clawback period has expired, then there wouldn't be any clawback for CAT. So
no
they'd be
liability.
Free of CAT. There is another tax to consider, capital gains tax, which is the tax that's payable when you dispose of an asset if there's a gain. But there is an exemption for your principal private residence. So if this listener has continued living in the property for their, you know, since they inherited it, then there also shouldn't be any CGT if they go to sell it.
Okay, so if you haven't been there 6 years as the mm-hmm. owner, wait.
Exactly, especially since we're in 2014. Yeah,
okay.
Hold out a few months.
All right, this next one now. Could you please explain what tax liability our daughter will have on inheritance in Ireland? She's married and lives in Australia. She's not lived in Ireland for the last 22 years. She won't be returning to live here as she has a family and is also an Australian citizen. So this listener has two mm-hmm. queries. The first one, is she liable for tax on any amount above 335,000 in Ireland? And is there a further liability to any inheritance from us in Australia?
And this is an issue that my clients ask me very frequently, actually. So they might say, you know, nowadays it's so common that people have children living abroad and settled abroad. But unfortunately, this goes back to what we chatted about at the very start, that even if you have the beneficiary in this case living in Australia and not resident in Ireland, on the presumption that these listeners are resident in Ireland, then the inheritance is going to be caught. It's going to be within the scope of CAT. So the fact that their daughter isn't resident is irrelevant here. Unfortunately, she will be liable to CAT above her tax-free threshold of 335,000 euro.
And are you aware if she would have a further liability on her inheritance in Australia?
So they would need to get Australian advice on
yeah.
that. But my understanding is there isn't inheritance tax in Australia, but there may be other taxes. I think capital gains tax might apply if you go to sell an asset. But generally speaking, I believe there's no inheritance tax in Australia.
OK, the one she needs to watch then is in Ireland.
Irish, yes.
Capital
yeah.
gains tax over 335,000. This listener says, I'm giving 3,000 a year to a beneficiary of my will at present. This goes back to what
yes.
we said, the gift.
Yep.
Will they be charged CGT on these gifts when I die?
So it would be CAT is the tax there, mm-hmm. capital acquisitions tax. And no, they shouldn't be, because that small gift exemption of 3,000 euro, that's a lifetime gift. It doesn't give rise to any gift tax implications. And also importantly, it doesn't eat into the tax-free threshold amount of
okay.
that beneficiary.
That's really important
it
for
is,
people to
yeah.
know.
So no, those gifts would have been made and they're in the past and there's no tax on those when that individual dies.
Okay, I have a lengthy one here to go through with you. My parents own 5 properties, which includes their family home. Do I get any tax exemptions when they pass? Actually, that's it. That's a short one.
Okay.
The longer one is coming up next. So 5 properties, includes their family home. Do I get any tax exemptions when they pass? Well, they get the same as everybody else, right?
Well, they get the 335 tax-free threshold that's available to children. In terms of reliefs from CAT, we only really have 3 main reliefs, but one of those is dwelling house exemption that we've touched on. And that can apply to an individual's family home, but only in limited circumstances. The relief has been significantly curtailed since about 2016. So if the child in this case was living with the parents in the family home for 3 years prior to their death, potentially they could inherit the property free of tax. But as I say that, I'm just thinking, you mentioned, I think they've a number of other properties.
They have four more.
Yes, so actually that would trip that beneficiary up, because you can't inherit an interest in any other residential property from her parents, the person making the gift. Otherwise, you wouldn't qualify for the relief. So it sounds like in this situation, it wouldn't apply, but it's certainly worth looking at. And, you know, it might be the case that they say they really want to avail of dwelling house exemption on the family home. They might decide to sell the other properties. So it's just worth looking at that and having a chat with someone about it.
But on first look at that, definitely on the four other properties, that person's going to be paying 33%, would you say?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Right. The next one. My mum died and left the family home as follows. My brother and I have the right to live in the house until our death, and then it is to pass to another son on our death. Now, I think the other son is their sibling on reading that.
Okay.
The other son lives elsewhere and has his own house. I got the right to live in it when I was 55 and I'm now 75. Should my brother and I have paid some kind of tax when we got the right to live in it? And is it regarded as an inheritance?
It is regarded as an inheritance, yes. So what they received, if you have a right to live in a property for your lifetime, that's called a life interest. And that's deemed to be a capital right for the purposes of CAT. So they would have need to have calculated what the capital value of that life interest was, and that would be based on their age at the date when they received that right, so the date of their inheritance. So they should have paid CAT at that stage. So they should certainly, you know, get advice on that now and look at paying the CAT, because there would be a surcharge of tax and daily interest also applying.
Well, this sounds very complex then, if it's to pass to another son, and we're assuming that's their sibling on their death.
Yes, and that person, their sibling, is called the remainder man. So that's the person who inherits an interest after a limited interest, such as a life interest that the first two siblings have, ceases. So they would have a separate tax liability, but certainly for the two siblings who got the life interest, they would have received a life interest.
So I'm sure you would advise that they need to get advice.
They need to get advice.
Because that's a complicated one.
Right.
Really quick one to finish. I wish to downsize my son's house. It's not his primary residence. What's my best option? Oh, they downsized to my son's house. What's the best option without incurring a large tax bill? Would it be possible to swap houses and transfer the deeds to each other? Or is there a liability there, Andrea?
There could be a liability. So anything that happens between family members, they're deemed to be connected persons for tax purposes. So everything is deemed to happen at market value. So even if, you know, say in this case, if the parents' house was worth €500,000, the son's house is worth €300,000, the parent could transfer that house to the son in consideration for the son paying the €300,000 across. So that's part consideration. But then the excess of €200,000 that's passing to the son, that would be a gift to the son. So it might be covered by his tax-free threshold, but there would have to be a conveyance. There would, you know, you'd have to look at the tax implications and have it all above board, because revenue say that it will take place at market value.
All right, Andrea, there's huge interest in this. We'll have to do it again. Thank you so much for coming
in.
Andrea McNamara, Head of Private Client Law at EY Law. We'll take a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.